Blog Talk Radio.
Anointed Supernatural Radio. It is Tuesday, 8:30 p.m. EDT, or if you're like me and you're in Australia, it's Monday here, 10:30 a.m. Sydney time. Well, we're blessed this week. We have Prophet Bob Griffin on, very much an apostolic father to the body of Christ. Bob Griffin has been in ministry for over 20 years. He has traveled everywhere from America, Australia, throughout Africa, to Israel and the nations of the earth. Bob runs a number of different, or hosts a number of different television shows, including Stepping Into the Future, Faithful and True Talk Show, which you can catch on the NU Gospel Network. I talked to Bob here in Australia Monday morning and found out that he's actually planted over 20 churches, but get this, all those churches that he's planted, he has then handed them on for other people to pastor and shepherd, which is almost unheard of. For those of you that have planted a church, the hardest thing to do is lay it down and let someone else continue on with the work. So it's incredible. You can go to Bob's website. It's www.bobgriffinworld.com. That's bobgriffinworld.com, and we'll have a link to the recorded episode that you can easily find, and I'll also post a link on my timeline on Facebook. Bob Griffin, do I have you on the line? And if I do, how are you today? I'm just getting Bob up. I can see him there on the list. I think it may have kicked him off the air there for some reason. I'm not sure what happened. And I'll just... And he may be calling back in. That's okay. We'll push forward. Well, when we do get Bob on, I want to talk to him about what's happening in the world, especially in Israel. I want to talk about this. My understanding is that as far as Israel is concerned, Jerusalem is the Father's clock. And so when it comes to times and seasons and what is happening in the earth, you can get a pretty good picture of, a prophetic reflection, I guess you could say, by looking at what is happening in Israel and in Jerusalem. And I did a bit of a Google search today to find out what's sort of going on in the world. And I was stunned to find that in the Jerusalem Times or the Jerusalem Post, that there is a man that is a Palestinian official that is calling for the destruction of Israel. Bob, have I got you on the line?
I'm here right now. I don't know if you can hear me.
I can hear you. Yeah, we've got you. I'm not sure what happened. I think it may have kicked you off the air, but that's okay. But I want to get your take on this. I'm not sure if you agree with me on this, but you know, I've had this understanding that Jerusalem is very much a prophetic reflection as far as the times and seasons as to what is going on in the world and what God is saying to the world. And I was just having a browse on Google, and I noticed that there is a Palestinian official that lives in the UK that's calling for the destruction of Israel. What do you think is happening, and what do you think God is saying about all of this?
Well, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he set everything in place. He set them for times and seasons. He set everything in the heavens. He set the sun, the moon, the stars. He said in Genesis 1:14, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night and the night from the day for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for the lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. So we know that on the fourth day, that number four is the separation between light and darkness. And so it's a new creation number. So eight is a new creation, but four is a new creation number because it separates the light from dark. Everything that God does, he brings out of the dark into the light, including birthing a baby. Everything that he does starts in darkness, and then it is revealed. And so God has done the same thing with the Old and the New Testament. He set everything in the firmament for the signs and the times, and these blood moons that are taking place on feast days, they're taking place. This is remarkable in our time for what's happening if people will pay attention. People that just dismiss it are just losing the timeline of the Father, because the Father really has set Israel as his time clock. It's true that he has.
Amen. And I think there's a real misunderstanding about the natural realm, the spiritual realm, and how they cross over. And when there is something like a blood moon or certain events taking place, this is a reflection of what's happening in the second heaven, or even, you know, when God has his way on the earth, it's a reflection of what's happening in the third heaven.
Well, if you really pay attention to Bible prophecy and just read the scriptures and understand them, I could do a quick synopsis for people to catch up and get in the groove of what God's doing. You know, God said that he set the sun, the moon, and the stars. He set them in for times and seasons and for days and years. He set them as a separation. But then we jump forward to Genesis, and we see in Genesis that when Joseph had a dream, you know, he didn't just have a dream. In the Hebraic, when you reverse the words, he didn't just have a dream. The dream had Joseph. He was birthed with that dream, and that dream had him his entire life. And so he had a dream that there was 11, you know, sheaves, and they all bowed down to his sheave. And so he's showing us prophetically that the number 11 is the prophetic, which is chaos and out of order, is all going to come into order to the 12th, which is the end time, which is the churches. It's going to come into alignment with the 12 tribes of Israel. And so he's showing a prophetic picture of the government of God, that everything's going to come back into order in these last days. Then he has the second profound dream, and he tells his father and his brothers, he said, this time I had a dream, and he said, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars all came and bowed down to my star. And so, you know, they rebuked him for it, but his father kept the matter in his heart. And this was now Israel is now hearing. Jacob is now turned into Israel. He's now hearing what Joseph has to say. So he says, what, shall I and your mother and your brothers all come and bow down to you? So we have the interpretation of what the sun, the moon, and the stars are. The sun represents the Father. The moon represents the mother, which represents the church. We have no light in and of ourselves. We only reflect the glory of the sun. So the church is only a reflection of the glory of God. We're not yet walking in the glory of God, but that's going to take place very quickly. And then we see that these stars are coming into alignment. We know from watching these blood moons and what's happening right now that the signs in the heavens, he said there's going to be a great sign in the heavens. We jump over to Revelation 12, and he said there's going to come a time when a woman is going to emerge, and she's going to actually put the moon under her feet. So this is the bride of Christ. This is the bride that has now made herself ready, is coming out of the organized church system. She's made herself ready, and she's put the church system under her feet, and now all of a sudden the 12 stars begin to glow around her head. So now she's going to walk in the government of God. And that image is actually going to take place in the year we're looking right now. We're in 2014, 2015. We're looking by 2017, September 23rd of 2017. We're actually going to see that constellation. That's a great sign in the heavens. We're going to see Virgo, which is the virgin. We're going to see Leo, which is the lion. And the lion is going to form 12 stars around her head. We're going to see the sun coming out of her loins. She's actually birthing a new movement. She's birthing the sun. She's birthing the glory. And it's coming out of her womb, and we're going to see that she's going to be clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and the 12 stars above her head. So that's a fact. That's going to happen on Rosh Hashanah, It's going to happen in the year 2017. And so these great signs are appearing right now. We can't ignore them and we can't dismiss them because they're telling us a time and a season. And with that, you can realize where we are in the book of Daniel. Daniel prophesied of these times. He prophesied, and I believe that personally that we're probably right now in Daniel chapter 7. And there are things that are happening right now in Daniel chapter 7 which will indicate the times and the seasons that we're in. I've not always been like this great Bible prophecy scholar, but I have awakened to my Jewish Hebraic roots, you know, and God began awakening me to them when I had a visitation from the Lord, and he came and set a seal in my forehead over 22 years ago. And I said, God, why are you doing this? He said, because you're Jewish. And he went on to share with me that he was preparing me for the church, for the end times and the church in Israel so that we would all be ready. And so I didn't really like that assignment, but the message that he's given me that I've carried for over 20 years now is a valid message. And where we are right now, I believe that we're in Daniel chapter 7, and we've got things that are going on right now that if we paid attention to them, we would see that there are people that are making decrees to change everything, you know?
Absolutely. And I was going to go there at the end of the show, but I think the Spirit of God is really flowing here. I want to find out two things from you. You were recently in Israel. You've got a special broadcast coming up, I believe. I think it's actually this month on the NU Gospel Network that people can watch about your ministry time in Israel. I want to find out about that, but I also want to find out what the Lord has spoken to you about as far as setting up a ministry in Israel in the near future.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I just came back from Israel. I didn't have any idea 22 years ago when I had this visitation from the Lord, and I'll just have to start there to accelerate to where we are right now. But 22 years ago, I was laying in bed, and a full moon outside. It was a bluish light coming in through my window, and no curtains on that window. It just was a really bright light. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, my whole bedroom lit up brighter than the moonlight that was coming through my window. And I opened my eyes to this bright light and this proclamation. And what I heard was, Babylon has fallen, has fallen. And I looked up and there was a round orb of light in the corner that was brighter as the day. And it was brighter than the night light that was coming through my window. The ball of light began to move across my ceiling. And of course, I'm sitting up in my bed looking at this, trying to figure out, am I dreaming or is this really happening? And suddenly I realized as I'm crying because the presence of God is so strong that I'm really experiencing this. And so... I'm sorry, I'm just reliving it right now. And suddenly I followed that light. I followed that light through my den into my living room. And when I did, the light was at the ceiling. And I got on my knees and I lifted up my hands. And just like, you know, John in Revelation 19, chapter 19, verse 10, I'm on my knees. And I heard, see that you do not do this, you know, for I'm of your brethren, the prophets. And I suddenly got this revelation that the angels are our family. In heaven, this is an angel talking to John saying, I'm of your brethren. We are the Mishpokah. We are the family in heaven. We're connected to the family on earth. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. So we have this family that we're connected to in heaven. And suddenly this light came down and started forming two, one on either side. So there's three lights, then two more, four, five, and then two more, six, seven. And I'm surrounded by seven angels and I'm on the floor and I'm surrounded by seven beautiful figures that I can see from their shoulders down to their feet. And their garments were electrified like they were iridescent and they were all seamless. There was no seam that I could see anywhere in them. They just were. And they looked almost electric. They just looked like they were moving in light. And so I could see the figures from their shoulders down to their feet to the ground. I never did see their feet or their faces. I never did see their hands. I just saw the figures of what they were. And suddenly from within there, a hand came forth. And as the hand came forth, it had a hole in the hand, in the palm of the hand, and the hand was coming straight from my forehead. And as it did, it got closer and closer to my forehead, and then suddenly a stone that looked like a diamond was pressed into my forehead, and I said, God, what is this? And he said, I'm sealing you for the end time redemption for Israel and the church. And I said, Lord, why are you doing this? And he said, because you're Jewish. And I began arguing with him, and I said, God, I'm not Jewish. I said, my father was German, my mother's Dutch, and English. And I said, I'm not, you know, Jewish. And the Lord said, behold, he said, your grandfather changed his name twice. And he said, you're Jewish. He said, call home and ask your mother. So this thing went on for about 25 minutes. And then suddenly they were gone. And I was left with all these tears on my face and just sobbing. And the presence of God was still in my room. And then I went into a vision where silver and gold coins were falling from the heavens onto my head. And as they fell on my head, they just started mounting up and mounting up until there was a pile. And I was in the center of this pile of this gold and silver. And when it got all the way to my head, then I felt the oil falling from heaven. It fell on my head and went down my ears and my shoulders, and God was anointing me. And he was telling me that all the silver and the gold is mine, and that the silver, this end time redemption and this glory, is going to cover the church. It's going to cover Israel with the oil of anointing that's going to come forth. It's going to break every yoke and destroy everything that needs to be destroyed. And so I just began looking at the scriptures, and immediately I was led to go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. And as I was reading it, it said, "Blessed is he who reads the words of this prophecy and hears them." And so I mused on that for quite a while. I just kept saying, "All right, God, what is this? Blessed is he who reads and hears it." And suddenly it hit me. I said, "God, how do I read it and hear it?" And he said, "Read it aloud, and your spirit man will come alive." And so I read the entire book of Revelation. I just ate it and ate it and ate it and ate it and ate it. Every day I'd read the book of Revelation. And then one day, as I'm reading the Gospels, everything started coming alive. All the numbers came alive, and I began to see Israel in every scripture. I began to see the church in every scripture, and I could see the definitive line between the both of them, and I could see that God was the Lord of just both Israel and the church. And I had a message for the church that he was preparing us. When he fed the 4,000, you know, he pulled up seven baskets of fragments of the bread. And so there's the seven churches. And then he went on and fed the 5,000 and pulled up 12 baskets, which is now the 12 tribes of Israel. So he's saying, the Lord thy God is one God. He's the God of the seven churches. He's the God of the 12 tribes. He's the same God. You know, the Lord thy God is one God. He said, there's one Father, one Lord, one Spirit, one Lord of us all. And so I realized that God is God. And he's saying, I'm the Lord of Israel, and I'm the Lord of the church. If people will allow me to show them, I'll teach them. And so then God began to teach me the numbers. Every story that I read, David, everything that I read in the Revelation, everything that I read in the Gospels, every story that I read was the same story. It all was the same story. See, a teacher comes to teach us, and he teaches us what he taught us. Then he teaches us again. Then he teaches us when he taught it. Then he teaches us how he taught it. Then he teaches us again. That's a good teacher. And so Jesus, all through the Gospels, was telling the same story over and over and over and over, and he used the same numbers and everything. When we had the wedding at the feast at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, and so now all of a sudden, you know, the mother of Jesus, which is Mary, comes to him and says, you know, look, you know, they're out of wine. And he said, woman, what does that have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. There is an hour on earth that belongs to Jesus. There's an hour when darkness will fail. There's an hour when his glory will be exploding on the earth, and his hour is coming right now. And he's dictating that through the signs in the heavens. And so when I looked at that, he tells them to go and gather six water pots according to the manner of purification of the Jews. And so they gather six water pots, and he said, fill them up to the brim, and they do. Now Jesus is among them, so he fills up six water pots. He prays, and all the water turns to wine. Now Jesus is number seven. He's saying, I'm number seven. I'm perfection, covenant, and unity. Here's six water pots. At the end of 6 days, at the end of 6,000 years, you're going to see me. And that's what he was prophesying on the third day. So the third day is also the seventh day. So we see that a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. And so suddenly we realize that God has put everything in measure. He's put everything down to the finite line. There's nothing going to be missing. And so we're seeing right now that Mary is the mother of Jesus, which is Israel. And so we've learned this, and we've known this since we were little children. Everyone sang the nursery rhyme, Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. So here we are right now. That song is dictating that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had a little lamb, and Jesus is the lamb whose fleece was white as snow. And every place that Mary went, Israel, every place that Mary went, Israel, that lamb was sure to go. So the lamb is always with Israel, always with Israel, always with Israel, always with Israel, always with Israel. And he's trying to bring us to the place where the church will wake up and begin to bless Israel so that the blessing can come upon us. And so when I began to see that story, I thought, okay, God, show me the story again. So he takes me to the next story, which is where he was tired at the sixth hour and comes to the woman at the well. And she's you know, talking to him, and he's saying, you know, go and call your husband. She said, well, I've had no husband. He said, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the one that you're now with is not your husband, and that you spoke truly. He's saying, you've had six husbands, and now I'm number seven. So he's saying right now, there again is the six water pots. There again is the six husbands, and he's number seven. He's saying, I'm perfection, covenant, and unity. And at the end of six, which is the number of man, at the end of six, then you'll find me. You'll find, when you're through with yourself, then you'll find me. And that's what he's saying right there. And so she said, "I perceive, sir, that you're a prophet." And he said, "Yes." And then he says, "You know, I who speak to you am he." She said, "We know that Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he'll tell us all things." He said, "I who speak to you am he." He reveals himself to a half-breed Jewish woman who was raped. And that's why the Samaritans lived where they did. They were separated and isolated from Israel because they were considered to be half-breeds. But Jesus said, "I've got to go there. I've got to go to everyone. I've got to go to everyone in the world because I'm not going to lose a single one of them. Of all that my Father has given to me, I've not lost a single one. So of all that has been committed to my hand, I'm going to catch them all." So now Jesus tells me the story again. He goes right now, he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who stones the prophets." He's really saying, "Old Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." Every time he says something twice, it's pay attention. When he says, "Listen, behold," pay attention. He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, pay attention." So he wants us to pay attention to that particular sign. And then at that moment, they're all walking along, and the whole crowd is thronging him, and they're pressing into him. And a woman touches him, and he perceives virtue leaves him when she touches the hem of his garment. When she touches the hem of his garment, he said, "Who touched me?" And Peter said, "Well, how can we know? This crowd is thronging you with such great intensity." That word in Greek, to throng, means to press in with great intensity. And when you press an olive branch, which is what Jesus was, you're going to get olive oil. You're going to get the anointing. When you squeeze in and press into Jesus, you're going to get the anointing out of it. So when this woman with the issue of blood bends down and she touches the hem of his garment, which is his tallit, he finally says, "Who touched me?" And she said, "I did." And because she represented the 12 tribes of Israel, she had that issue of blood, that hemorrhaging for 12 years. Now she is a picture of Israel who has an issue of blood. The issue of blood, it's by what we hear. It's not by what we see. She's hemorrhaging, and she can't be healed by any physician. And what he's saying right now is, listen to this story. She has an issue of blood. Well, the issue of blood is that the 12 tribes of Israel could not understand how God, the creator of the universe, would send a man who had to die, and we would have to eat the flesh of a man and drink the blood of a man because that's an offense to them. And so that was their issue, that they couldn't take communion by eating his flesh and eating his blood. But that's the picture that he shows us. Then immediately it says young Jairus comes along, this young ruler, and says, "Quickly, my daughter is at death." And he said, "We will go." And then a man comes along and says, "You know, it's too late. She's already gone." And Jesus said, "No, let's go." He goes there and puts out all the mourners, all the professional mourners. He puts out all the intercessors. He puts everyone out of the room. And all he keeps in the room is the mother and the father and Peter and James and John and the girl and himself. So now we have the same picture again. We've got six of them. He's number seven. We've got the mother, the father, three disciples, Peter, James, and John, because they represent faith, hope, and love. Peter got out of the boat. James was the one who held out hope for the Israelites, and John was the one whom the Lord loved. So we got faith, hope, and love, because without them, we could do nothing. So he's got faith, hope, and love, the mother, the father, and he's got the young girl, so that's six of them, and then he's number seven, same story. And he speaks to her, and he says, "Talitha kumai," which is daughter of my tallit. He's saying, "Daughter of my covenant, arise." Another translation says, "My little lamb, arise." And so he's saying right now, Israel, who the world says is dead, that they're calling for your destruction, and they think you're dead, I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to raise you up right now, right in front of their eyes. And it's all it's going to take is faith, hope, and love. So we got the same picture. So I'm saying, okay, God, show me the picture again. So he shows me the picture again. Moses is on a mountain, and he's crying out, "God, show me your glory. Show me your glory." And the Lord speaks to him and says, "Moses, no man's ever seen my face and lived." And so he says, "Look, I will cover you in the cleft of the rock." The word cleft in the Hebrew means a hollowed out, pierced out place. Hollowed and pierced. Just remember those words. Hollowed out, pierced out place. He said, "I'll cover you with my hand, and I'll show you my hinder parts, and I'll let you see where I'm about to go." So he hides him in the rock of the hollowed and pierced place, which is his hand. And he turns, and when he does, Moses now sees his eyes, goes past his 130 years on the earth, and suddenly is translated into the future, where few tour, and he goes all the way to the Mount of Transfiguration. When he gets to the Mount of Transfiguration, he's now on the mountain with six people. He's there with Peter, James, and John, faith, hope, and love. He's there with Elijah, and he's there with Jesus, and now there's Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, Peter, James, and John, faith, hope, and love, the six of them, and they're in the word in the Greek, metamorpho, and they're turning into number seven. So they're turning, and Jesus said, "I did not come to do away with the law and the prophets, but I came to fulfill it." So you have to imagine that God takes and squeezes out of time. He squeezes Moses, Elijah, Peter, James, and John. Now Peter's saying, "Look, it is good that we're here. Let's make three tabernacles." And he gets rebuked by the Father because the Father says, "This is my son. Hear him. I want you to listen to him." Now Jesus has appeared on this mountain, and he's glowing. He's full of light. He's the light of the world. He's no longer full of blood. He's been emptied of blood. He's showing himself glorified before he even gets crucified. And so now he's standing on this Mount of Transfiguration, showing himself glorified before he gets crucified. And as he's standing there, what Moses is looking upon becomes him. So he's looking upon the glory, and now the glory is being transferred upon this prophet. Now he goes simply back into his body and goes all the way back to his mount where he was calling out for the glory of God. And now the glory of what he looked upon is shining upon him, and Moses is satisfied because now he's seen the future, that he's no longer going to be the only one on the mountain seeing God. He turned from looking at a book.